Hello, everyone. We are continuing on with John Flavel's The Mystery of Providence, and we are still in an overall part, number three, the application of the doctrine of providence, and we're still in chapter 12 called Practical Problems in Connection with Providence. And last time we did part three, and the point for that was, how may a Christian discern when a providence is sanctified and comes from the love of God to him? Which brought us up to the next point. And Lord willing, we're going to continue on in the chapter with the next point. And I'll go ahead and begin with the point. He says, how may we attain an evenness and steadiness of spirit under the changes and contrary aspects of providence upon us? He says, three things are supposed in this case. Number one, that providence has various and contrary aspects upon the people of God. Number two, that it is a common thing with them to experience great disorders of spirit, their own spirits, under those changes of providence. And number three, that these disorders may be, at least in a great measure, prevented by the due use and application of those rules and helps that God has given us in such cases. That providence has various, yea, contrary aspects upon the people of God is a case so plain that it needs no more than the mentioning to commend it to all our understandings. Which of all the people of God have not felt this truth? Providence rings the changes all the world over. He increaseth the nations and destroyeth them. He enlargeth the nations and straighteneth them again. Job 12, verse 23. The same it does with persons. And when he says it about providence, he's just referring to providence in a neuter form of pronoun. Not that he's calling God it, but just that providence as a thing that comes from God, he refers to it in the neuter pronoun. So again, he says, the same it does with persons. Thou hast lifted me up and cast me down, Psalm 102, verse 10. See what a sad alteration providence made upon the church. How doth the city sit solitary that was full of people? How is she become as a widow? She that was great among the nations, and princess among the provinces, how has she become tributary? Lamentations 1, verse 1. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. That's verse 12. And how great an instance was Job of this truth? Job's chapters 29 and 30 compared. How many thousands have complained with Naomi, whose condition has been so strangely altered that others have said, as the people of Bethlehem did of her, is this Naomi? Ruth 1 verse 19. These vicissitudes of providence commonly cause great disorders of spirit in the best men, as intense heat and cold try the strength and soundness of the constitution of our bodies, so the alterations made by providence upon our conditions try the strength of our graces and too often reveal the weakness and corruption of holy men. Hezekiah was a good man, but yet his weakness and corruption was betrayed by the alterations providence made upon his conditions. When sickness and pains summoned him to the grave, what bitter complaints and despondencies are recorded in Isaiah 38. And when providence lifted him up again into a prosperous condition, what ostentation and vainglory did he show? Isaiah 39, verse 2. David had more than a common stock of inherent grace, yet not enough to keep him in an evenness of spirit under great alterations. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. Psalm 30, verses 6 and 7. It is not every man that can say with Paul, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Philippians 4, verse 12. He is truly rich in grace, whose riches and poverty neither hinders the acting nor impoverishes the stock of his graces. Though the best men are subject to such disorders of heart under the changes of providence, yet these disorders may in a great measure be prevented by the due application of such rules and helps as God has given us in such cases, and these shall be considered accordingly. Now that's the end of that point. Steadiness of spirit under the changes and contrary aspects of providence upon us. The next point, how may we attain to an evenness and steadiness of heart under the comfortable aspects of providence upon us? Under providences of this kind, the great danger is lest the heart be lifted up with pride and vanity and fall into a drowsy and remiss condition. To prevent this, we had need urge humbling and awakening considerations upon our own hearts, such as the following. These gifts of providence are common to the worst of men, and are no special distinguishing fruits of God's love. The vilest of men have been filled even to satiety with these things. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. Psalm 73, verse 7. Think how unstable and changeable all these things are. What you glory in today may be none of yours tomorrow. For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Proverbs 23, 5. As the wings of a fowl grow out of the substance of its body, so the cause of the creature's transitoriness is in itself. It is subjected to vanity, and that vanity, like wings, carries it away. They are but fading flowers. James 1, verse 10. The change of providences is never nearer to the people of God than when their hearts are lifted up or grown secure by prosperity. Does Hezekiah glory in his treasures? The next news he hears is of an impoverishing providence at hand, Isaiah 39, verses 2 to 7. Others may be left to perish in unsanctified prosperity, but you shall not. This is a great revelation of the carnality and corruption that is in your heart. It argues a heart little set upon God, little mortified to the world, little acquainted with the vanity and ensnaring nature of these things. Oh, you do not know what hearts you have till such providences try them. And is not such a discovery? Reflect and compare state with state, and time with time, how is the frame of your hearts altered with the alteration of your condition? So God complains of Israel, I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. According to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. Hosea 13, verses 5 to 6. As much as to say, you and I were better acquainted formerly when you were in a low condition. Prosperity has estranged you and altered the case. How sad it is that God's mercies should be the occasion of our estrangement from him. That's the end of that point, attaining evenness and steadiness of heart under comfortable providences. And the next point or question, how may our hearts be established and kept steady under calamitous and adverse providences? Now here we are in equal danger of the other extreme, vis-a-vis despondency and sinking under the frowns and strokes of contrary providences. Now to support and establish the heart in this case, consider the following. Afflictive providences are of great use to the people of God. They, the people of God, cannot live without them. The earth does not need more chastening frosts and mellowing snows than our hearts do nipping providences. Let the best Christian be but a few years without them, and he will be aware of the need of them. He will find a sad remissness and declining upon all his graces. No stroke of calamity upon the people of God can separate them from Christ. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Romans 8, verse 35. There was a time when Job could call nothing in this world his own but trouble. He could not say, my estate, my honor, my health, my children, for all these were gone. Yet then he could say, my Redeemer, Job 19, verse 25. Well then, there is no cause to sink while interest in Christ remains sure to us. All your calamities will have an end shortly. The longest day of the saints' troubles has an end, and then no more troubles forever. The troubles of the wicked will be to eternity, but you shall suffer but a while, 1 Peter 5, verse 10. If a thousand troubles are appointed for you, they will come to one at last, and after that, no more. Yea, and though our light afflictions are but for a moment, yet they work for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. Let that support your hearts under all your sufferings. Next, let us consider what may be useful to support and quieten our hearts under doubtful providences when our dear concerns hang in a doubtful suspense before us and we do not know which way the providence of God will cast and determine them. Now, the best hearts are apt to grow concerned and pensive, distracted with anxiety about the event and outcome. To relieve and settle us in this case, the following considerations are very useful. Let us consider the vanity and uselessness of such anxiety. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? Matthew 6, verse 27. We may break our peace and waste our spirits, but not alter the case. We cannot turn God out of his way. He is in one mind, Job 23:13. We may, by struggling against God, increase, but not avoid or lighten our troubles. How often do we afflict and torment ourselves by our own restless thoughts when there is no real cause or ground for so doing? And hast feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. And where is the fury? Where is the fury of the oppressor? Isaiah 51, verse 13. Oh, what abundance of disquiet and trouble might we prevent by waiting quietly till we see the issues of providence and not bringing, as we do, the evils of the morrow or tomorrow upon today. How great a ground of quietness it is that the whole disposal and management of all our affairs and concerns is in the hand of our own God and Father. No creature can touch us without his commission or permission. Jesus answered, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above," John 19, verse 11. Neither men nor devils can do anything without God's leave, and be sure he, God, will sign no order to your prejudice. How great satisfaction must it be to all that believe the divine authority of the Scripture that the faithfulness of God stands engaged for every line and syllable found therein. And how many blessed lines in the Bible may we mark that respect even our outward concerns and the happy issue of them all? Upon these two grounds, vis-a-vis, that our outward concernments with their steady direction to a blessed end is found in the Word, and this Word, being of divine authority, the faithfulness and honor of God stands good for every tittle that is found there. I say these are grounds of such stability that our minds may repose with the greatest security and confidence upon them, even in the cloudiest day of trouble. Not only your eternal salvation, but your temporal interests are there, are secured. Be quiet, therefore, in the confidence of a blessed outcome. How great and sure a means have the saints ever found it to their own peace, P-E-A-C-E, to commit all doubtful outcomes of providence to the Lord and devolve all their cares upon Him. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established, Proverbs 16, verse 3. By works he means any doubtful, intricate, perplexing business about which our thoughts are racked and tortured. Roll all these upon the Lord by faith, leave them with Him, and the present immediate benefit you shall have by it, besides the comfort in the last issue, shall be tranquility and peace in your thoughts now. And who is there of any standing or experience in religion that has not found it so? All right, that is the end of that point. How our hearts may be established and kept steady under calamitous and adverse providences. And brings us to the next point. How may a Christian work his heart into resignation to the will of God when sad providences approach him and forebode great troubles and afflictions coming on toward him? But we're going to go ahead and stop there for this time, and then, Lord willing, go on to that one the next time. But until then, go seeking from God to grant you an evenness and steadiness of spirit and heart under difficult providences and under prosperous providences as well, which were probably more apt to fall away from God during. And may He grant us strength and wisdom in all these things, and a complete trust in Him, knowing that He is sovereign over all things eternal, spiritual, and temporal. And may He grant us the faith to believe and trust in Him as our God. And if you don't know Him as your God, seek Him to be your God, and to be one of His people through Christ Jesus, seeking Him to be your Savior from your sins, and putting down your weapons of warfare against God and submitting yourself humbly before Him, again, asking Him to be your Savior. And Lord willing, we will talk to you again soon.